Father, we just praise you in your house this morning. We thank you that we can be blessed, God, because you are here with us, Lord. We thank you that you refresh us this morning, God. Thank you that we can just dwell in your house, dwell in your presence, God. And we know that in your presence there's fullness of joy, God. And joy comes from the inside, Lord, that we can look away from our circumstances, look away from how we, Lord, experience life sometimes. And just look to you, the joy in our hearts, God. We thank you this morning that you refresh us. We thank you that you've done a new thing in our hearts. We thank you that you remind us again, Lord, of the importance of just coming to worship you together, Lord. Because many times we get stuck in our own lives, just like George testified now, Lord. We get stuck just in our own walk with you. But Lord, we need the fellowship, God. We need the other people around us to be Christ sometimes, God, where we cannot. And so we thank you this morning that you inspire us, God, just because we come here together. And Lord, you say where two or more are gathered in your name, Lord, you are in our midst, God. And so we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your inspiration, Lord. By your Spirit, it's only by you that we can experience this, Lord. Thank you that we can yield right now, Lord, to your Spirit. Yield to what you want to do in our lives. We just want to let go this morning, God, and let you take us on a journey, Lord. So just come and take us on this journey, Lord. Come and release us, God, of ourselves. Come and release us of the selfish desires, God, the I, me, and myself, where the focus is just on what we do and what we accomplish. And it's all about us in the end, Lord. But we thank you this morning that you free us of ourselves, God. You break the chains, God, of self in our lives this morning, in Jesus' name. While we just continue to worship, the ushers will just pass around the offering bag. So if you do have something to give, feel free to give. Don't be compelled or anything, but it's part of our worship just to give to the Lord. So let's just continue to consecrate ourselves to him this morning, because he's busy with awesome stuff in our lives. So let's just not get distracted right now and just pray. When you're finished giving, just continue to pray in the Spirit. Thank you that we can bless this offering, God. Lord, this is holy unto you. We consecrate this offering, God. Thank you for every heart that is given this morning. Thank you that it represents, Lord, just what we do every day and represents our lives, God. And we want to give our lives away to you, Lord. We want to give you everything, Lord. Not only a part, whereas many times we just give a part and we just give a percentage, God. But this represents the first fruits, Lord, of our lives. This represents the first fruits even of the semester. And I just sense the Lord wants us to just consecrate our lives right now as we pray for the offering, just to consecrate your life for this semester, for the next 6 months of this year. God wants to do amazing things through each of us. So just say to the Lord this morning, just consecrate yourself to the Lord for his purposes this morning. Thank you that we can come at the beginning of a new semester, Lord, that we can really consecrate ourselves, God, to you. Not just part of us, Lord, but every bit of us, God, our whole beings, God, we give to you. We ask that you would do amazing things in us, Lord, and through us, Lord. That's your desire, God, to meet with us, but then, Lord, to, God, ignite us to touch the world around us, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that right now. We thank you that you receive our offering, God. It comes with little faith, Lord, but you say in your word that all you need is faith like a mustard seed, a very, very small bit of faith, God. And we do it in faith this morning. And we thank you that you receive it as a sweet-smelling aroma this morning, Lord. Receive our lives, God. Receive who we are. Thank you that it's so blessed, Lord, to give it away, to give to you, Lord. And we know that you bless us, God, as we give, God. You bless us as we give ourselves away, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Matthew's very excited to be in church this morning, even though his mom is not here. So, welcome to everyone this morning. It's great to have you guys here on this morning of the So the 8th of July already. It's amazing. Okay, so yeah, I want to give some feedback from Zambia, just quickly, not too much, because you see, it's like in Vegas. What happens in Zambia stays in Zambia, eh, Tanya. But no, we will share a little bit in the next few weeks as I preach, and just obviously on the 29th we're going to have a big feedback meeting with testimonies and videos and everything. So, but we had an amazing time. You can stay in a bit of level, nader, you not to scare off. We had an amazing time, just seeing God do awesome things in our lives. I think more than anything, we obviously had an expectation to go and to bless people, and we did, but we were more blessed. So God just proves again that it's just so much more blessed to give than to receive and to go, because when you do, you just receive so much more, and all our lives were changed. I think some of us are still recovering from just how God changed all of our lives and impacted us, and we're still working it through as to how to apply it, because we realized that our mission is not there in Zambia. Our mission is every day where we live and where we move, and that was the testimony that came out of it, is that, you know, we're on a mission every day. It doesn't just end there when we come back to South Africa. The challenge is often when you get back from a mission like that, the challenge is how do you live it out in your own life, and how do you live it out where you are, because we get into a rut many times. But yeah, just to one quick story. When we spent time with the school, you know, sort of reaching out to the kids and everything, and then we were in the class that one day, and we sort of asked them a few questions, and obviously they don't all speak, well, actually they do, they are learning English, so they can speak a bit of English, but then they asked us, well, we asked them, okay, what do you want to know about us now? Because we asked them questions, and then we said, what do you want to know about us? So we were in this class of probably about 9, 10-year-old little kids, and then they said, okay, but we want to know what food you like. So they asked, there were about 5 of us in this class specifically, so the one person said, no, they like pizzas or whatever, and then I like said, yeah, look, red meat is the way to go. And last night at Taran Mika's 30th party, we had lots of red meat. Still recovering from all of that, but it was awesome. And then Martin says, oh, he likes pasta. So then he sort of saw this funny reaction of the kid's face. So he said, do you know what pasta is? And then they sort of said, Yeah, I know pasta. I know the pasta in the church. So after that, I was called a noodle after that. I was called pasta. I was known as the pasta. So, but anyway, you'll probably hear some people as they come back, they're excited about their pasta. At least some people are excited about their pasta. But no, it was awesome. I really bonded so nicely with the team as well. It was just nice to almost be like a student again and just to be funny. Apparently, I was quite funny. Some people laughed at me. I was just myself, I guess. But anyway, so yeah, this morning I just want to share a word that I really believe is prophetic for our church. I really believe it's a word for this semester, and that we all need to focus on this, because if we don't get this right, we might as well, you know, not have church. We might as well really just go on and do other stuff on a Sunday and forget about the kingdom, because this is so crucial to us. And I believe it's a word that God's speaking to all of us as, well, I don't believe, I know it is a word that God is speaking to all the shofar churches at this stage in this year specifically. So I really believe, even though there are a few of us this morning, I know I don't always preach just to the people. One must remember, when you preach, you're preaching to the Spirit. You're making a declaration in the Spirit over the city where you are, the place where you are, that this is what God is saying. And I believe it's going to cause a shift. And I believe that if we can get this right, God is going to really bless us as a church. And we're really going to see His heart very specifically. So just to start off with, I don't know about you guys. You guys, who's been invited to many weddings over the years? I mean, Tinas, you've had quite... I was invited to 13 weddings in 1 year. That was my record. It was just before I met Hester, and I thought, yo, I'm going to all these weddings, and it's about time that, I suppose, I have my own wedding. And praise the Lord, just after that, we actually met at the end of in December that year, after going to 13 weddings in 2006, I met her, and we got married in 2007. So praise the Lord. But I was invited to a couple of weddings. I don't know if you guys, when you get invited to a wedding, don't you feel quite special? Don't you feel like, yo, man, you've been invited months before, you've got this special invite, you see this card, there's so much effort being put into this card that you received, or... And it seems like these days you guys are still going to get married. You guys are going to have to do a lot of effort, because it seems like the way people invite people these days, there's so much more effort and thought gone into the invitation. Because these days now we've been invited to two weddings in the next few months up in Pretoria. And it seems like they first post you a save the date type of email. Not post you, they send an email with a very nicely designed picture, but it says sort of save the date. This is our wedding. This is the date. So now you get to save the date, and then they say, please RSVP if you're going to come or not, because then we're going to post you the real invitation. You know, so there's like double invitation. You first get told this is the date, then you get told, but just reply because we want to send you the real invitation. So it seems like the people are getting quite efficient these days with inviting people, because then they don't have to just invite 200 people and 100 come, and then you waste all the effort on the cards on people that won't come. But anyway, it's getting quite efficient these days. But people seem to think a lot about the invitation. They seem to think, how can we invite as many people as possible? Or how can we, not invite as many people, but how can we make it effective? How can we really make the people feel special? First of all, there's a save the date. Then you get the real invite in the post. And then sometimes you even get a follow-up to say, you know, this is what's happening. And, you know, to let the people know exactly that our wedding is happening and we're excited. And even last night with Tad and Mika's birthday, I mean, it was really so much effort that was put into this, getting an invite and saying, listen, now it's a fancy dress. You've got to dress up like this. You've got to, you know, you must come prepared because we've got a banquet. We've got a feast for you guys. Yeah, we're going to have lots of meat, and there were a few vegetables and salads as well. But, you know, the meat was the focus, biltong before the time, and, you know, beef soup, and then, you know, the big spit braai, the sheep and so on. So it was an incredible evening last night. But, you know, I sort of thought to myself, why is it not like this in the kingdom? Why do we make so much effort about our weddings and about our parties and about celebration in our lives, but why don't we make such an effort about the kingdom of God? Why don't we make such an effort about church? Why don't we get so excited about things that we organize in the kingdom? Why is it sort of sometimes a last minute thing? Why do we invite people? Oh, because maybe I'm going to church this morning, so I must invite someone on the Saturday night, or maybe even Sunday morning, phone someone quickly and say, come with me to church. Why do we do it so last minute, but yet with our weddings and with our parties that we organize, we put in effort months in advance. We think about it. We go through the motions and say, who do we want there? Who are we excited about? And so I believe God wants us to think about this in terms of church as well, and to make every event that we do a big event, to start to think about what's happening, and to start to say, Lord, show us who must we invite. Show us to get excited about people and invite them into your house. Because, yeah, in John 3, we all know the scripture, and we quote it, and if you ask someone why they're going to heaven, they sort of quote this thing. But we must see, Nicodemus was speaking to Jesus in John chapter 3, and he said to Jesus, listen here, Jesus, I can see there's something different about you. How can I enter this kingdom? So he goes through, he tells him the gospel first of all, he tells him that you've got to be born again and all these things, and Nicodemus is freaked out because he says, how can he go back into his mother's womb? What is this born again thing? But he tells him the gospel. And then, yeah, in verse 14, he says that you've actually got to believe it, Nicodemus. It's all very well to hear it, but you must believe it. And he says, yeah, and he sort of goes back to the Old Testament. And he says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So he explains to him, listen, yeah, Moses, the people were bitten by snakes because God sent a bit of a plague on them because they were disobedient. And then Moses cried out and said, please save the people. And so God said, okay, just put up a snake on a pole. And if everyone looks at that pole and believes, then they will be saved. And God was just trying to say, it's not the snake that's going to save you. It's just the fact that you obey. And when God says, look up at the snake, and you look up at the snake, then you're healed. So he was trying to say the same thing. Just as the Son of Man is lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That is the verse before. And then our favorite verse that we always quote. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, God's motive, if we look at this verse, is purely love. God's motive is only love. It's not like God has any other motives why people must come. God loves people. And many times if we look at it, even when we send out invitations to people and we, you know, we sort of sort of get excited about what we're doing and our parties and our weddings. Sometimes our motive isn't purely love. We sort of just have to invite that person. We feel like we have to invite that family member. We have to invite them because this person's invited, so we better invite this person as well. And our motive is not always love. But God's motive here, when he says his heart is to invite everyone, his heart is for the whole world, his motive is purely love. It said, yeah, God loved the world. And secondly, God sent his best invitation. Isn't that amazing? He sent his invitation in the form of his son, a person. Not just a fax or an email or a nice card saying, you know, do you want eternal life? He sent his only son. And this was just so clear to me when we were in Zambia again, is that it was so amazing to be connected with other believers and to see people all over the world. There was a guy from Northern, I don't know if you guys, have you guys have heard of a place called Nagaland? Anyone heard of Nagaland? I'd never heard of it before, but it's in the north of India. And this guy now looks like a Chinaman. They said to us, please don't think that his name was Senti. Senti. They said, please don't think that he's now from China because everyone thinks he's from China because he looks like that. But he's actually from Nagaland, northern India, or in the northern part of India. But it's this guy, and you hear his testimony of how his parents got radically saved and how he was just dedicated as a child to be in the ministry, and or not to be in the ministry, but just his parents said, God, he's your child. You know, use him. And he's been in the ministry since he left school. And he's just got a heart to serve Africa. And there's people from Zambia. I mean, obviously the Zambians, people from Zimbabwe, people from, you know, good old Afrikaners from South Africa, English South Africans. You know, it's just awesome to see different people from all over the world, you know, committing to God's purposes and realizing all these people are loved by God and are saved by God. And they commit to his purposes. And it's so amazing just to see the world that God loves, the different people. And sometimes we get caught up in our little culture and, you know, our backgrounds and, you know, everyone must be like us. But you see all these different people when you go out and you see the weird and wonderful people on the buses that you drive on, and just getting out there to see God's heart for the nations, to see God's heart for the lost. And then you realize that this heart of God is just so big. God does not have limits to how he loves people and how he loves the world. And that is his heart. And it says here that everyone who believes in him, in other words, God sent this invitation to everyone. He sent his best, and he sent not an invitation in terms of a card or anything. He sent his son out of a motive of love. But he said, yeah, listen here, that everyone who believes in him, say that to your, turn to your neighbor and say, everyone who believes. And he says it twice. He said it in verse 15. He says, before he comes to verse 16, he says, everyone who believes will have eternal life. And then again, he says, for God so loved the world that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So you see, Jesus has got such a heart. God has got such a heart for the world and for the nations out there. And we have to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, do we really have a heart for the nations? And it's not about going on a mission. Because he said, my house must be a house of prayer for the nations. God said we must pray for the nations. But then we must, if God says go, then just go and reach out even here in Bloemfontein. Nations come to this campus. Nations are around us, in the city even. So God's heart is for everyone. And sometimes we get stuck because, and I'm going to get to this later, sometimes we just get a bit offended because we have tried to reach out and there's been no response, and so we just don't reach out anymore because we've just been rejected or people don't want to come and we've invited them. But that is not God's heart. God's heart is to just continue to open his heart and say, everyone who believes must come. And then in Psalm 23. So that's God's heart, first of all. We need to understand God's heart is for everyone. Secondly, this is something that I'm so passionate about because David understood this. David understood the journey that we as Christians are going through. He wrote Psalm 23 as like a journey. He started off saying, the Lord's my shepherd. He's everything I need. And then he goes on to say, he leads me through green pastures. And then he comes to verse 4 and he says, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I go through the darkest and challenging times in my life, you are with me, God. And some of us get stuck there. Some of us get stuck at the valley of the shadow of death and we sort of just want to give up and we get despondent. But God says, listen, I want to take you through that valley. I want to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. So go and read Psalm 23 again and understand David's heart of what it means to walk with the Spirit, to walk with God in the Spirit, what it means to really understand the shepherd being with you all the time. And then he ends with this amazing scene here. It's almost like a scene of eternity saying, I've lived this life and this is what God is saying to me. this is what I can look forward to. This is what God's destiny is for me. You prepare a banquet for me. Isn't that amazing? You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. And in verse 6, he says, I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. God's heart is not just for us to survive and to make it to heaven. Because some of us, we just want to make it to heaven. And in this town and just in many cultures, it's all, and even in Zambia, Zambia is such a religious nation. Those people are over church. They have church all over. There's so many denominations, so many churches. But we don't always see the fruit of the lives of Christians, so-called Christians. And that's why FCE, the organization that we connected with, their heart is to disciple people, to show people to live a life that everything you do is consecrated to God. Not only a Sunday thing, but every day of the week you're living for God. You're consecrating yourself to God. And what you're doing is important to God. Because, you know, some of us are so religious. And I'm not saying to us, yeah, but I mean in this city especially and just in this nation, there's just so much religion of let's just have a tick box. Let's just make sure we make it to heaven. And that's all that counts. And God is saying, no, I've got a destiny for you. I've got a banquet prepared for you. I'm so excited about what lies ahead for you. And yeah, on this earth, we have a taste of eternity. But we haven't got the fullness yet. But he says, listen, I prepare a banquet for you. And David understood this. He could with certainty say this, that God is preparing a banquet for me. And it says here that you welcome me as an honored guest. You fill my cup to the brim. It's like, if we think our parties and our weddings are great, we ain't seen nothing yet. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be awesome. It's going to continue for eternity. We're going to be one with. We're going to have a feast. We're going to continue to live a life of an abundant banquet that God has prepared for us. And some of us need to start to think about eternity. We need to start to think about heaven because we get so caught up with our earthly life. But God's destiny is not that we survive and then we say, I just want to make it to heaven. God's destiny is that we get excited about eternity and what God's planned for us. But the good news is that it's not only one day. It happens right here. We need to start to show the world that there's an eternity that's going to happen. But you know what? We need to model it here on earth. That's why God sent His Holy Spirit to say, listen, yeah, there's a down payment. There's a seal. There's a guarantee that something's going to happen. But you know what? It started here on earth already. And so I believe what God is saying for us as a church, that we must create that environment. And we're not, obviously, we're far from perfect, but we must at least get excited that what happens here and what we experience in worship, what we experience when we gather as believers, that this is part of the marriage stuff, this is part of this feast that's coming. And so if we're not going to get excited here about eternity, how are we going to get excited then? God says, listen, I've given you my Spirit, I've given you, Jesus has come to set you free so that you can start to celebrate and start to be the light to the world and start to show that there's a destiny for everyone, not only for you, but for everyone. God's heart is to really show the world that He's coming. He's coming again. So we as a church must represent not only God's heart for the nations and for everyone, but God's destiny. We need to represent eternity. So I believe practically for us as a church, we need to start to say, listen, on a Sunday and in our small groups, wherever we get together, we mustn't just do it because it's a thing to do. We must say, Lord, And the other night we were at, you know, Cameron, Colina, the family cell leaders now, and we sort of just going there to also just, you know, have fellowship with all the married couples and so on. We're not facilitating, which is also a blessing because there's so many meetings that we facilitate. But it's just so awesome to see, and I don't know, some of you guys eat together at a cell group, which is, I want to say, let's do that. Let's eat together. Let's fellowship. Let us experience just what it's like to have a meal and share life together, and then we pray for each other and we fellowship. That is God's heart. God wants us to experience a banquet. He doesn't want us to have a small group meeting or whatever we do in church and just carry on and just do it because it's a good thing and we want to receive something. We want to have fellowship together. We want to have a banquet, even here on earth. And when we get to church on a Sunday, we must say, Lord, this is not just a building. This is not just sitting in a pew and doing church. We want to have a celebration here. We want to experience life and then that other people can experience it as well. That other people can also see this is a little bit of eternity here on earth. That is His heart. His heart is that the destiny starts to be birthed in people, that we look away from the things of the world. We look away from the same old, and just making it and surviving through life. God wants us to have a banquet. And He says, yeah, that your goodness and love will be with me, and your house will be my home. And God's heart is that we come home and that people come home. And we experience it, yeah. We experience such an abundance. We walk out of here, we're excited. But you know what? The other people out there that need this, that need to experience this coming home. Because you know what? They've been broken. Their families are messed up. Their lives are messed up. They need to come home. And we need to create that home for them. And that is God's plan. That's why I'm so excited about this semester. Because I believe people are going to come in here and just say, I've come home. I feel like this is where I belong. I feel like this is my home. God's home is right here with us. But first of all, we need to challenge ourselves and say, are we excited for eternity? Are we excited for this banquet? And are we excited to create the banquet here for people? Because if we're not, how are other people going to get excited? If we have been walking with the Lord for a while, if we're not excited about God's heart and just excited about what He wants to do right here, are other people going to see it through us? But we'll see that now. You see, and it talks about an honored guest. It talks about a full cup. It talks about abundance. You fill my cup to the brim. You fill my cup to overflowing. It just speaks of the ability to be able to give out. God fills us up so that we can give, so that we can overflow. But it starts getting exciting. And you know, just to come back to Zambia as well, you know, we stayed in the villages the one night. We were the second last night we were there. We stayed in the villages. And it's interesting because they tell us before the time, please, you might not now like the food that they give you, but just know that they are giving you the absolute best. You guys are truly honored guests, and they are going to go out of their way to make you feel welcome there. And I mean, when you get there, you know the food is going to be different from what you're used to, but you just see the effort that they've put in. It's plenty of food and plenty of Nchima pap or whatever they call it, this staver pap. You know, and like it's not like the meal that you look forward to every single day of your life kind of thing. But you just know that these people have put in effort and it's so weird, they actually don't sit with you. Like we were with the facilitators and the counselors there that are working there and obviously the guys from FCE. So we weren't left on our own to try and communicate with these people because some of them can't speak English. But I mean, we were there and then they sort of move out of their home and you sit in their lounge area, their little sort of, you know, yeah, the entertainment area there. You sit there and they move out and they eat outside and they sort of almost like shy of you. And you think, this is weird, you know, but that's just their culture. And they honor you. They put out the best for you. You know, they slaughter those chickens. You see those chickens running around and you just know one of them has been slaughtered for you. Because they only do that like whenever guests come. They don't just do that every day. But they put out the best for you. And you just realize, yes, man, this is so awesome. These people's hearts are ready to make you feel honored and to make you feel welcome. And it's sometimes uncomfortable because you want to just connect with them, but they almost like not worship you, but like you this, the whitey, you know, what's the word in Bemba again for whitey? I can't remember, but they, Mzungus, that's right, Mzungus, you know, the Mzungus from South Africa or wherever. It's just different. But you still get the sense, yes, God, these people understand your heart and they want to make us feel welcome. Because they know it's weird for us, you know, to stay in the villages there. But they'll get off their beds and you can sleep on not that it's the softest mattress, but they'll sleep on the floor and you sleep on their beds. Because you're the honored guest. And that is what God's heart is. God welcomes us as an honored guest. And He wants us to welcome other people as honored guests into this house this year. So it gets exciting, yeah, when we start to see that heaven is coming. Heaven is here on earth and it's happening. Then, 2 Corinthians 2, to carry on. From verse 14, Paul writes and he says, he's defending his ministry. His second letter to the Corinthians is basically to tell them, listen, he's heard of many people that are saying that his ministry is not real and there are all sorts of other false apostles and false prophets that are going around saying all sorts of things, and basically they're doing it for money. And Paul is saying, yeah, that listen, yeah, his ministry is real. So he's writing this part of the letter to defend his ministry. And he sort of stops himself in the middle, and he just says, and he's found out that he's got a few challenges, and his ministry has been challenging, but he almost stops to thank God. And he says, but thanks be to God, verse 14, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Isn't that amazing? Paul says that through us, the fragrance of the knowledge of Him is spread everywhere through Jesus Christ. Through what Christ did and through my ministry, I can see there's fruit of my ministry. The gospel is being spread. And that is our purpose. You see, that is the strategy for God. And God's inviting us to say, listen here, this is His strategy. Because, you know, God can save the whole world right now. And I've thought about this often. I'm thinking, God, you know, can't you just miraculously save the world? And he's doing it. He does it in bits and pieces. People are being visited by God at night, and people in India, pastors that get saved and start churches, and God does it. But God's primary strategy is what he did through Paul. He said, listen here, the ministry that I've given you is to spread the gospel everywhere. It's your job. You spread the gospel. It's like he said, Jesus saying to his disciples, listen here, I'm not going to feed them. You feed those people with the little bit that you have. Your 5 loaves and 2 fish, you give it. You just give it that I will multiply it. But you do it. I'm not just going to, you know. He said to them, you do it. You feed them. And it's the same. He's saying to us, we are to spread the gospel everywhere. Through our ministry, we are to spread the gospel, just like Paul understood. Because it's a fragrance of him. So guess what? Some of you need to start to smell good, okay? In the spirit, you need to start to smell good, okay? So tell someone next to you that you need to be the fragrance. You see, some of us are worried about how we smell, but you need to understand that you're the fragrance of Christ. Your purpose is to smell good to the world out there. He says here, we are to spread the gospel, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. And then he says, listen here, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. In other words, he's saying everywhere you are the aroma of Christ. So God's strategy for everyone is that we are the aroma of Christ. And I really believe just when we went, you know, you experience God's heart when you go. And I'm not saying go on a mission somewhere, but just go. And in the morning say, Lord, yeah, is my mission field. The hospital is my mission field. My business is my mission field. My class is my mission field. But just to say, Lord, I want to be the fragrance of Christ to everyone. Those who believe, in other words, you must be the fragrance to believers as well. But you must also be the fragrance to unbelievers. And it says here, listen to this, to the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. It's like there's two opposites here, the smell, the stink of death. But the other, we are the fragrance of life. Isn't that amazing? And then he says, to who is equal to such a task? And that is what the Lord is asking us this morning. Are you equal to such a task? Because you know what? In your own strength, you're not. That's what Paul is trying to say. You're not equal in your own strength. But our role is to give off a smell. And guess what? We don't have to worry about the reaction of people. It's not our job to worry about the response. Because some people are going to, we're going to smell like death. We're going to stink to some people. Why? Because they're confronted with their own sin. And they're going to just realize, I better stay away from this guy, because if I come into the fragrance of Christ, I'm going to need to change. But I just smell a death here. And I mean, on the bus, Tanya will bear me out, but on the bus now, there is a toilet in the bus, and it's only for the guys. Now tell us nicely, the Intercape guys say, look, this is not only for passing water. If you need to do anything else, then please stop and we'll help you. I like the way they said, we'll give you a help. I don't know what they wanted to help us with, but it's for passing water. So now, I don't know what happened, but that first night or the second night we were driving on this bus, this toilet started to stink. Now you're trying to sleep there and you just get the smell of, you know, it really was off-putting. And you just get this terrible smell. So I don't know if you've smelled smells like this, but I came back to the office and I was reminded again about the smell, because on the stairs at the back here, it seems to be people are sleeping here now. And it just so upset me, because then I just get the smell of urine on these steps. Now I don't know who, you know, urinates on a step like that, but it's just this terrible stink. And it just like gets, you know, a smell is amazing, because you get these other smells if in the morning of, or in the evening of, Braaiplaas. Has anyone just gone for a run, or you've walked around town and on a beautiful summer's evening, there's just the smell of Braaiplaas. Isn't that amazing? Or early in the morning when people are baking bread, there's just this awesome smell of this aroma. It's really an aroma. It's like a fragrance. You just want to go to that braai or go to that bakery and buy that bread. But then you get another smell like this, where of urine on a cement step, and it's like just through the night it just stinks. These opposite smell is amazing. I mean, Cameron is an ENT specialist. You'll know the dynamics of a nose and our smell is just so. And for me, my eyes are not so good. So guess what? In a human being, if your one sense sort of is bad, then the other senses are very strong. So my sense of smell is like hectically strong. That's why I don't like to eat weird foods, you know, like vegetables and salads and stuff, because they smell funny. But meat just has that aroma for me, you know, that. But anyway, but there's something interesting about a smell. There's something so amazing and so strong about a smell. And two opposites. It can be an amazing, great, nice smell, and it can be this terrible stink. But you see, for some people, it's all about how they experience it. It's not about what we're giving off. We are giving off the same smell, the fragrance of Christ. That is, if you are giving off the fragrance of Christ. And some of us are maybe not giving off the fragrance of Christ because we're swearing and we're doing all sorts of things not Christian-like, which is not the fragrance of Christ. But if we're giving off the fragrance of Christ, guess what? That is what we're giving off. And some people are going to experience it as, oh man, this is so nice. I want to go and eat this bread. I want to go and join that bride. And other people will experience it as a stink of urine on a bus that's been sitting there for I don't know how long. But it will be the smell of death. But you know what? We don't need to focus on the reaction. We just need to be the fragrance of Christ. Isn't that amazing? So it sets us free because, you know, it's still up to people's response. It's still up to them to respond. But we need to be the fragrance of Christ. That's God's strategy. And he carries on here in 2 Corinthians 3 and he says, he's talking here about we don't need to prove ourselves. He says, you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. In other words, guess what? You are an invitation. I am an invitation. We don't need to make fancy cards and do all sorts of things. We are the invitation to people out there. Isn't that awesome? And that is, we are little Jesuses, little Christs, Christians. Jesus was the invitation to the world. So guess what? Paul says, he says, you, I'm so pleased because you don't need to prove yourself and write all sorts of letters of recommendation. You are the letter from Christ because of your testimony. And some of us need to get excited about our testimonies again because it's the result of someone's ministry, the result of a ministry of Christ who came to you and you experienced the fullness of the gospel and you changed. So guess what? Your testimony, it's the result of some ministry. It's written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. What does that talk about? Relationship. So guess what? Marketing doesn't always work. You know, when we put up a post and we say, we've got an event, we're excited. You know, you'll probably get 1 out of 100 people coming because they'll just see the post and maybe be inquisitive. But what is the real invitation is when you start to build relationship with someone and you say, I can see your life is a mess. And you don't say that to the person, but you in your heart, God starts to show you this person needs an invitation to life because they are going one way. But then you start to build relationship and you start to pray and you start to be the invitation. That when you invite them, you've prepared the soil. They're going to come and drink from the living waters. So the tablets of human hearts, because why? The letter kills. So if we just hand someone an invitation, say, come to church, or we give them this cold invitation, come to church, you're missing out. You know, that's like legalistic. It's the law. But when you start to engage your heart with someone and tell the person, listen, yeah, you're also a sinner. You're also in need of Jesus. You're also, like Angus Buchan says, the evangelism is simply one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to find food. So you recognize your sinfulness. You're not this perfect Christian. You're not this all sorted out person. You're also vulnerable. But when you start to build relationship with people and you start to say, my life is also in need of Jesus, but you know what? Jesus is changing my life day by day. And I know that you need this. Because I can see things are happening in your life. Things are happening that you cannot handle. You want to commit suicide. You want to kill yourself. But there's life in Jesus. So you see, human hearts, yeah, talks about relationship. It talks about identification with people. Because people don't want to be told, I'm this perfect person. Just come and you'll be changed. You'll be made perfect. Because they can see you're not perfect. So don't try to lie to them. Don't try to think you're this perfect, charismatic, spirit-filled Christian going full out for Jesus. Just identify with them and say, I'm also fallible. I also make mistakes. And that's what people want to see. People want to see that we're real, that we're transparent, that we're open to being wrong at times, open to just let God change us. So the Spirit of the living God writes this invitation and imprints this invitation on our hearts that we can go and be the invitation to others. Because then life gets exciting. And then yeah, in Luke chapter 14, to end off, Jesus tells this amazing parable. He's busy eating with a Pharisee. This Pharisee has invited him, one of the top guys. And obviously their motive is to catch Jesus and to make sure that he doesn't, that he does something wrong and that they can accuse him and basically take his life. But he's sitting out with them and he's not intimidated by them. He just knows that he can teach them a few lessons. Yeah, he can teach them about the kingdom. So he goes to eat with them and he tells them a few things in the verses leading up to verse 15. But in verse 15, there's this one man. He hears Jesus talking, and he says, yes, listen here, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Once again, this whole thing of banquet, this whole thing of feast, this excitement that God has planned for those who are believing in him. He says, listen, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus knows that this guy doesn't have a clue what he's just said. So he just comes and he says, yeah, I need to tell you a story. I need to tell all of you sitting at this table a special story. So Jesus replied with a story. And he said, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Do you see that there? There's two invitations. These people understood the power of, first of all, telling the people, listen, yeah, you're invited. And then secondly, the second invitation was, listen, yeah, come now, the banquet is ready. It's like you invite someone to your wedding and you invite them 3 months before and then you sort of tell them 2 days before, listen, yeah, we're ready, come, or we're going to see you. We want to even see you on the Friday night. Before we have the wedding, we want to cater with you. So he says, the banquet is ready. I'm ready for you, come. And listen to this, they all began making excuses. So he had now invited special guests and then they started to make excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Now he's been invited long before the time, but suddenly when the banquet's ready, he just pulls out. He says, sorry, I've got to go and inspect my field. And another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to go and try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. All sorts of excuses. You see, there'll always be excuses. Always be excuses about work, about family, about finances, all sorts of excuses. And this master was very angry. The servant returned and told his master what they had said, and he was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go into the country lanes, behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. And I just remember, you know, my own life when I was invited to Shofar. It was, this guy did not want to leave me alone. Some of you have heard the story, but I was in a little, or in a a room next to this one guy who was in Shofar. And I was in another church at the time, and my life was sort of cruising. I was pretty happy with life, but there was a longing in me for just something more, because I'd served the Lord for a while and I was, yeah, I just sort of at a bit of a turning point. And God obviously had organized this, but this guy kept inviting me. He kept saying, come, you must come to small group, because man, this is so exciting. Small group is happening. But he hounded me for 6 months to come to the small group. And I just thought, man, this guy's, he's on his own pluck. I'm happy where I am. And I sort of said that in my heart, but I wasn't really. I was starting to look for more. So I was just told him, man, I'll sometime, but no thanks, tonight I'm busy again. And for 6 months he kept inviting me, and eventually I decided, listen here, this guy's so excited about something, and I was just at a point where I just thought, let me just try this out, let me see what's happening. And to cut a long story short, I went to that small group and I experienced just what I was longing for, just the fullness of the Spirit, and I was challenged by these people's love for me, and just the stranger coming in, and just how they embraced me and celebrated me, and just started to say, listen here, God has got a great plan for your life. And since then, I never turned back. There were times when I thought, this church is weird, must I come here? But I just felt this fellowship. I felt this love and this acceptance, and just where God wanted. I felt God saying, this is where I want you. Just get planted. So I just did the foundations, and cut a long story short, got baptized, got filled with the Spirit, and still serving the Lord today. Praise Him. But you see, it all started with this hounding, this guy not letting me go. Not 2 follow-ups or 2 invitations. He just kept inviting me. And so what I want to say this morning is that we mustn't give up on some people. And I'm not saying now you go and hound someone for 6 months now. But we must start to ask God, who needs this invitation? And I'm not going to stop at 2 or 3 invitations. I'm going to just continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to invite this guy. Because that's what happened to my life. I am so thankful that guy kept inviting me. Because maybe someone else might have invited me and I would have got on the path by some other way, but it would have probably taken a couple of years. But for that time, it was the right time to say, come, you must come. So we mustn't be intimidated by people's responses or excuses, because guess what? They're always going to be excuses. But what did Jesus try to say? Listen, yeah, if those people don't want to come, you know what? There's more. Go and invite those people in the streets. Go and invite those poor and the crippled and the lame. Because sometimes these other people, they have got all sorts of things. Their life, yeah, is so comfortable. They'd rather focus on their family. And I'm not saying now you don't focus on your family. But, you know, Jesus said you've even got to deny your family sometimes. But it's all about who really wants to, who needs it. And you see, so some will reject, but there are always others who will come. And yeah, he says, listen here, after you've invited the poor, the lame, and the crippled, listen here, there's even more room in my house. Please, I want my house full. Go into the country lanes. Just go wherever you've got to go. Jesus was trying to explain here that wherever you've got to go, just go and invite people. Wherever there's a need, there will always be a need. Why? Because God wants his home. He wants his house full. And you know what? There's room for everyone. And Jesus knows, God knows that there are people that are not going to respond. And he's fine with that. His heart breaks for that, but he's not going to force himself onto someone. Someone will still choose. Someone will still respond. But you know, sometimes we get up, we sort of just are happy with people just going to hell. You know, we're just happy with people whose life is a mess. We're sort of not urgent about it. We're not saying, Lord, let's pray at least to start off with. I mean, obviously, you've got to pray. You can't just invite people without praying for your heart. Because you know what? Many times our hearts are just legalistic. We just want to get people saved and that's it. But it's not about that. It's truly about our heart, after God's heart. God so loved the world. And God wants his house to be full. But I believe that if we can get this right, I believe if we can say, Lord, we are an open invitation. This house is open and we are the invitations. We are personally going to invite people. We are going to be the letters, as Paul says, that are written on the by the Spirit of the living God, not in the law, written in the freedom of Christ that he has bought for us. Then God is going to be excited because his house is going to be full. His home, his house is going to become a home. It's not just a building. It's not just things happen here. It's truly a home where you connect with family. And I love the way this church started. I mean, and I trust the Lord that it will never stop. Because when Tad and Mika started this church, everyone will testify that it felt like family. And the challenge is going to be when the church grows, it might not always feel like that because you don't know the leader or that guy. But I mean, that's not the point. You must still find a family and still say, where can I be the family then? Because sometimes we just want other people to be the family to us, but we are the family. God is saying to us, we're the family. And so it's going to be challenging when we grow and when we change. But I know this church started on a real love for people and say, we want to see God's heart spread to this city and spread to this university and wherever we are. But he wants his house full. God wants, he's got room for everyone. And I believe in our hearts we must first start to make room for people. Because many times we don't make room for people in our hearts. If someone wants to just come over and they're having a tough time and we've got our studies to do or whatever, then we'll just say, no, I haven't got time now. But let's make our hearts a home for people first of all, before we make the church a home. Because otherwise we're going to get legalistic again. It's just going to be about people coming. But if we aren't loving people, and we don't celebrate every person that walks in that door, every new person, then we're also just in a holy huddle, and we're just very comfortable. So I'd just like Tinus and Elria and Mavra just to come up. Because I just believe, I really believe this morning that we need to just make a choice now on behalf of the church as well. It's not about just us hearing the message. We're just representative of what God wants to do in this semester and this year. Because I believe he's really ready. I really believe God is so positioning us for influence. I mean, he's positioned here, us here in a place where there's just a harvest field of people in this Brandfach area. And already we've seen people starting to come and get excited about what he wants to do. But we positioned, yeah, we positioned close to campus. We positioned in the suburbs here. Dan Pinar, Jewelsich, right near to us. Even Universitas. We positioned in influential places. We positioned in the middle of the city for, it's not just for, you know, to have a Sunday service. It's really to say, Lord, we want a family. We want your people to come home. Because there are people scattered out there. There are sheep that are scattered. And God wants us to be open invitations. And yeah, in Matthew 11:28, my last scripture, Jesus said to everyone, he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So it's not about doing stuff for God. It's just about saying, Lord, I want to come to you because there's not a rest in my soul because I'm busy with other stuff. I'm not busy with your kingdom. And you know, if you're not busy with the kingdom of God, you will be weary. You will be carrying heavy burdens. You'll be carrying sin. You'll be carrying all sorts of distractions that God doesn't want you to carry. He wants you to come to him to give you rest. And then when you've come to him, he just says, listen, yeah, extend that same invitation. Bring others into my presence. Bring others into my rest. Be the invitation that you have been given by me. So I believe this morning that as we close our eyes and as just the Lord speaks to our hearts, because I know He has spoken this morning very clearly to us, and He's speaking to me, and this is a challenge, because even in the ministry, one can get so comfortable with, you know, even going on a mission and getting excited about changing the world, and God saying, but are you really making a difference here where you are? And we were challenged, all of us, as to how, what difference are we making here in Bloemfontein? Are we getting excited to invite other people? Or do we just want to go and do a Zambia mission, or go and, you know, do a little outreach here and there in Bloemfontein and feel like we've done our thing? Or are we just living a life where our hearts are open to everyone who comes across us? And it was so amazing for us to have Cameron and Colleen staying in our house, where their house was being renovated and everything. And it was challenging for both of them, I mean, more for them, I say, because I could see them packing bags and having to unpack and then pack and then go to stay with Dad and them. And it, you know, but for us, it was so amazing to say, God, you know, we want to open our hearts, not only for people that we know, but for where it's a bit uncomfortable at times, where Matthew has to move out of his room, and, you know, that's what we're living for. We're not living for each of us to have our own little room and to be comfortable. If you see the people in Zambia, you see how they live, then we have just got life here. But are we opening our hearts and our homes for people to come and find rest because Christ is in us? So Lord, we just, Lord, want to give you our hearts again this morning, God. And we just thank you for your word that's, Lord, so challenging, God. But I thank you that your word challenges us, Lord, to change, because we, Lord, need to change and to become like you, Jesus. Thank you that we're not here just to survive, Lord. We're not just here to have, Lord, a nice club and just to have coffee together, Lord. We're here to truly, Lord, be a blessing to this city, first of all, Lord, and to be a blessing to this nation and to the nations of the world. You've called us, Lord, because you said, Lord, you love the whole world, God. Thank you, Jesus, that not one person is too far from your good news. Not one person is not able to be saved because of whatever reason, Lord. Everyone is able, Lord, to come to your kingdom, God. And we know that some will reject you, and your heart burns, God. Your heart pains for the people that even already have rejected you and have already, Lord, just chosen to walk away from you. But Lord, your heart desires that people come and experience you in an amazing way this semester, Lord. So we don't want to focus on what's not, Lord. We want to focus on what you want to do through us, God. There's 6 months of 2012 left where lives can be impacted, God. And I pray that all of us would start to see it in the Spirit. All of us would start to pray for people, Lord. We'd start to, Lord, even go through nights of weeping for people who are broken, Lord. People whose lives are, God, even knowing about you but not having the power, Lord. Not having the fullness of Christ. People who've got a form of godliness but they deny the power of God. And Lord, their lives just don't speak of who you are in their lives. And so we thank you for even those people, Lord. Even the people in the city that are, their hearts have been hardened by this history of this country and just hardened hearts of brokenness, God. But we want to thank you this morning that you revive us again by your presence. You want to come and do a new thing in our lives. And you want to touch our hearts and set our hearts on fire, God, that we can be an invitation, God, that we can invite everyone, Lord. And not just those who are comfortable to connect with, Lord. So give us a heart for strangers. Give us a heart for the broken, Lord. Not just for the people that we know and that we're comfortable with, God. So we need a change today, Lord, and we ask you to come and do that. So as all our eyes are closed and we just focused on what the Lord wants to do this morning, I just believe that the invitation has been extended now for all of us, first of all, to say, Jesus, we want to respond to you now. We want to respond to what you want to do in our hearts. Because we need to first come before we can go. So Jesus just wants to touch us this morning. So if you're honest right now, you just want the Lord to really give you a heart for other people and just to be the invitation, then I want you just to raise your hand, and God is going to do something in your heart this morning, I believe. So just as a sign of just saying, Lord, I surrender to what you want to do through my life. I want to be that invitation. I want to be that letter written not on tablets of stone, not in the law, but written in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want to be that invitation. Then I just want you to raise your hand this morning, because all of us are invited. all of us are invited. So just to be honest with where you're at this morning and just respond to God. Because God is going to do something right there where you sit. It's up to you this morning to choose. So just be honest with where you're at this morning. Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, I need your touch this morning. I recognize that I fall short of this. I recognize that I fall short of always inviting people. Anyone else? If you raise your hand, you can just put your hand down again. But just raise your hand to the Lord this morning. If you haven't raised your hand yet, just say, God, I want you to touch me this morning. I want you to ignite a fire. If you believe that he can do that this morning, then just respond to him. Don't do it if you don't really believe that he can do it. But if you desire God to just come and touch your heart this morning, then just raise your hand this morning. Father, I thank you for every hand that's raised, every heart that is responding to you right now, Lord. I thank you just for your touch on lives this morning, God. And all of us as a church, I sense that we represent, God, many others this, Lord, that are here in our church, that are on holiday right now. And we pray even that you touch their hearts, God. And as they spend time with you, that you would revive just again in them the purpose that we've all been called to fulfill. And that's to be your house, God. Be your home here. First of all, in our hearts. And then in every activity that we do, Lord. This year we commit, Lord, all our activities that we've planned. The foundations, God. Even the Bible school. The formal, God, where we're going to invite just other people. And Lord, let every event also just open our hearts to other people and not just the church people. In our small groups, God, we just sense all those small group leaders, if you, yeah, just in your heart, just say, Lord, I consecrate my small group to you as a house to be open, that the physical space and just all our hearts will be open to visitors this year, and that we're going to be excited about visitors this year. So if you're a small group leader, just do that in your heart. Even if you're not and you know that you've been called to shepherd people, then just say, God, I prepare my heart. Because it's going to be challenging at times. I cannot do it on my own, but Lord, I want you to do it through me. I want you to use me in mighty ways this year. Lord, I thank you that we can respond to your call right now. And I thank you that you invite us, God, to always come and to give rest. You want to give us rest, Lord, that we don't strive, Lord, but that we come to you and experience your heartbeat, Lord. Because many times we get weary, and it's not because, Lord, of doing stuff, or it's just because, Lord, we're not always doing the right stuff, Lord. We're not always doing the God stuff. We're doing a lot of good stuff, but is it from you, Lord? We respond to your call this morning. And then I just want to ask anyone, if you maybe don't know the Lord Jesus this morning, or you've grown cold towards Jesus, then I just want you to also respond and say, Jesus, touch my heart and save me, Lord. Save me from myself. Save me from just living a life of selfishness and where everything is about myself. Or maybe you've never met Jesus as the lover of your soul and the one who can give you rest. Just come to him this morning. He's the great shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing a new thing in our hearts, Lord. And we just, Lord, don't want to leave this word here either. God, show us this week even how to wrestle with you, Lord, because we know that it's, Lord, a decision is a decision, Lord, but to continue to live in that decision, Lord, to continue to commit to what we've decided in our hearts, Lord, takes a continuous taking up of our cross every day and to walk in the Spirit, Lord. And I pray that we'd not walk in the flesh, God, in this thing, in Jesus' name, that we would not do it out of striving, Lord, but only because you have laid it on our hearts, God. You have laid your desire on our hearts because you love us so much and because you love the world, Lord. So we thank you this morning.